I love the colorful clothes you wear, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle moon on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up her vibration. She's giving me the excitation. I'm backing up.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies. And in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming back to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. In addition, we are promoting a quarterly preview at the end of this month, June 30th, Friday evening, at the Elks Lodge in Monterey. We'll have Joyce Muse doing the astrology, we'll have Sherry Greek doing the tarot, and Kirilani will do the numerology for July, August, and September. Visit the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com to get more information and attend this special event. And speaking of special events, this Friday at the Unitarian Universalist Sanctuary in Carmel, the Circle of Light is presenting a special presentation as a lead up to our summer solstice, the longest day of the year, when the sun is at its highest power. And right after that, metaphysically, the sun begins to die as we drift back to autumn equinox when night and day are equal, and then lead into the journey into the winter solstice for the midnight sun. So this is the time of year when we are coming to the height of our manifesting power. And as a particular outcome of that, July starts. I got a little tangled up on which words I wanted to say. But July starts the manifesting period of the year, which you'll hear more about at the quarterly preview. So we're leaving our creative cycle. This is our last month of putting together the energy, the intention, and the focus of what we want to create in the last half of this year. And starting in July, we start bringing into fruition those intentions that we laid the foundations for, that we planted the seeds, that we created. Excuse me. So I'm going to take a touch of water, and then I'm going to do what I always like to do, a little day by day with James Allen. Now, as most of you know, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh, in 1903. At that time, James Allen was pointing out to us that he wanted us to clearly understand that our present reality is a direct outcome of our past thoughts, habits, and beliefs. Just as we were talking about creating and manifesting, our reality is what we've manifested. However, our future is not predetermined by our present reality. Our past thoughts, habits, and actions and beliefs have not created a future for us. Our present thoughts, habits, patterns, and beliefs will create our future. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his words have been broken up into a little segment for each day of the month so we can digest it in smaller bites and truly understand it. For the 12th day of the month, he tells us that every circumstance has two sides. Now, your difficulty is not contained primarily in the situation which gave rise to it, but in the mental state with which you regard that situation and which you bring to bear upon it. So essentially, if you are thinking and striving and struggling, to over a situation, what you're doing is giving power to that situation. So as he once again says, your difficulty is not primarily in the situation which gave rise to it, but in the mental state with which you regard that situation and with which you bring to bear upon it. So it's true, and we don't like to hear it when we're in the throes of a situation where we're emotionally connected, emotionally traumatized, emotionally hurt, and we constantly rethink the situation over and over again. But the truth is, the rethinking of it is not the healing for us. It's keeping us in that trauma, in that despair, in that anger, in that sorrow, in that hurt. So we have the ability to shift our thoughts. Now, be careful here. This is where I tend to get into the disagreements with many in the metaphysical community. Shifting thoughts is not putting on rose-colored glasses and saying, oh, look, I have this broken leg. Well, I'm going to learn a lesson from this and things will be fine. No, you're welcome to have some pain from the leg. You're welcome to consider how it's going to affect you. You're welcome to determine how you have to shift your life as you go through the healing. You're welcome to do all of that. But to automatically say, oh, this is going to be good for me, there's a great lesson here, is often ignoring what the present situation really is, which is, I have to get the bone set. I have to get a cast put on. I have to go through a healing process. I have to arrange my workplace so that I can accommodate the leg. I have to be able to arrange for different things where I may need assistance because of the leg being broken. Those are the realities of the situation. But what James Allen is telling us, but don't get stuck in the despair. Don't get stuck in the anger. Don't get stuck in the sorrow. As we know from the stages of grief and the stages of loss, all the same, they have their own cycle. They have to work through themselves as by themselves. We can't say, oh, I'm done with the anger. Oh, I'm done with the sorrow. Oh, I'm done with the despair. It goes through a cycle, and it's a repeating cycle. But if we're doing a conscious practice to release and release the hurt, to practice the forgiveness, to practice the self-love, to practice the gratitude, it helps facilitate the process. But at no time does putting on rose-colored glasses and ignoring the situations assist in a healing process. It actually only hides the process to come back and hit us stronger later. So when James Allen says, every circumstance has two sides, your difficulty is not contained primarily in the situation which gave rise to it, but in the mental state with which you regard that situation and which you bring to bear upon it. And one of the ways to help that mental state is to always have those positive thoughts that you can use within yourself to supplant them. And I use that through the daily word. And today's daily word says, every cell of my body is aglow with the light and love of the divine. Every cell of my body is alight and aglow with the light and love of the divine. Allow yourself to honor yourself for the divine being that you are in this present moment, in this present incarnation, no matter what is going on in your life. You are aglow with the light and love of the divine, and you are the divine you've been seeking. So I honor you for that. With that, let's go to our segment for today. Dr. Arnie Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. Now, he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications, and he's worked with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 8 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communications and skills to a number of organizations in Monterey and San Francisco and down the King City area, all over the place. It's part of his passion. It's part of his love. And whenever there's an opportunity, he's right there to share it. Now, Dr. Buss joins us on the second Monday of each month with his segment, Speaking of Listening. And to get him introduced to us, let's have a little opening music.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find relief.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. As he said, I'm your host for Speaking of Listening, Arnie Buss. Speaking of Listening is about ways of improving all your relationships by listening from your aware heart. And I love the lyrics of that introductory song, and it says to listen deeply both within ourselves and within others. And I also really appreciate the comments that Solazar had before this about not just kind of pretending everything is okay, but being real about it. And sometimes the feedback I get from how I propose beginning by listening, especially in difficult circumstances, is that it does that. And nothing could be farther from the truth. It's a question of what the order is. And I'll talk about that today, because I want to talk about one of the most requested topics, which has to do with how we respond to criticism, with how we respond to words that seem to come at us and they seem to pierce us, and they give the impression that the other person is unhappy with us, or they're putting us down, or whatever it might be. The thing to remember is that the only place of responsiveness is from our aware heart. So we don't have to have how we respond be dictated by the other person. If they're coming at us, we don't have to go at them. In fact, I am convinced that all criticism does come from a place of some kind of pain, some kind of hurt in the other person. And because for whatever reason they're not able to process it effectively, they're not able to keep themselves okay with it, they often project it out onto others. And it's something that we all do from time to time. Think about a time when you were angry with someone else, or you maybe said some things to them that you later regretted. And if you listen deeply to yourself, you will identify the fact that underneath all of that, there's likely a place of pain, a place of hurt. And that is so important, because that makes the difference between whether we react or we respond. If we come at the other person from that place of hurt, then we're reacting. If we come from a place where we're okay, and then the other person, and we see the other person as being okay, regardless of what is being said or done, then that's responding. And it's not papering over anything. It's not being a Pollyanna or looking through rose-colored glasses. It's really what I think is an essential, fundamental, spiritual law, which is that we're all children of the universe, and each one of us has unconditional regard, unconditional worth. Regardless of anything else, that there is still some core of ourselves that is okay no matter what. And that's true of everyone, even politicians that you may dislike. Remember that they too are children of God. Now, if you agree with the idea that all criticism does come from a place of hurt, and if you don't, that's okay too. But what I ask you to do is just try it on. You know, try thinking of, instead of, oh, that person is a bad person for saying this, what I suggest, just try this on for size. Hear the pain and don't take the blame. Validate their feelings, validate their pain, but don't make yourself wrong. And I want to talk today about how to do that, how to respond to criticism, and what I have found is that this tracking that I talk about, sometimes people say I rant about, is such a valuable thing, because it's one of the it's pretty much the only approach that I have found that will sometimes literally stop the other person in their tracks, but without pushing back at them. Often you hear things like, you know, well, you know, walk away, or say, no, you can't talk to me that way. And it's not that there's anything wrong with that necessarily. But what I've found is that the more you push back on someone, especially someone who has a lot of energy, and especially negative energy, if you push back, no, you can't talk to me that way, or, you know, I'm not okay with that, that just kind of fuels the fire. On the other hand, if you respond through validation, through validating what their feelings are, which isn't agreeing with the criticism, but it's validating where they're at, then people are surprised by that. And it's hard to stay, I would say not only hard, it is impossible. I'll state it even more extremely. It is impossible to stay in that high energy place when the other person is validating you. That is so amazing. And don't take my word for it. Test it. Try it out yourself. Now, unless you're living in a cave somewhere and never interact with anybody, if you're in any kind of relationship, whether, you know, friendship, a relationship at work, with a colleague, with a boss, with a subordinate, just the acquaintances, friends, intimate relationships. If you're in a relationship of any kind, then at some point, the chances are you're going to hear some criticism. That just seems to be the nature of people. Until we become 100% enlightened masters, we sometimes get not okay with someone else, and then we'll come at them. And I certainly confess to being that myself, because here's a newsflash: I am not an enlightened master, at least not yet. I'm, you know, just it's. But regardless of whether that even matters to you or not, the fact is that you can apply this to any situation in which things seem kind of uncomfortable. So, you know, some of the things that you might hear, you know, have heard things like, oh, you're such a slob, you know, or you never do what I ask you to, or, you know, how could you do that? One of my favorites, you never listen to me. You should be sorry. You never listen to me. It's just what I love about that is you could almost script the way this typically goes. Many times the person saying that is, say, a woman in a heterosexual relationship, but people say it, you know, all the time. and they say it because they feel frustrated. And what's interesting about that is the way that goes can almost always be scripted. So they say, you never listen to me, or you're not listening to me. And the other person says, I am too listening to you. That's the typical response. And then, of course, the original person says, well, then what did I just say? And then if you weren't listening, you say, well, you know, and then, you know, it's you know, you're right. I'd like to hear that again. Or chances are you were hearing the words. And you can repeat back pretty much verbatim what that person just said. Now here's the interesting thing. From a logical standpoint, from a purely rational, unemotional standpoint, the way that that went, again, you're not listening to me, I was too, then what did I say? And then you tell them exactly what they just said, then that should assuage them. They should say, oh, I guess you were listening to me. And the statement, oh, I guess you were listening to me, has never been uttered in that scenario, to my knowledge. It has never been said. They're never happy. Why? Because they were picking up on something that really had nothing to do with whether you heard the words or not. They were probably, if you have heard this, then the chances are that you were not fully engaged and focused on what the other person was saying, and they picked up on that. Now, why does this happen? Well, you know, sometimes we get distracted, and that's, you know, that's just sort of the nature. Many times, especially in a problematic area, instead of really listening with 100% focus on what the other person is saying, we're formulating our response to them. They say, okay, well, they said this. Well, as soon as they finish talking, then I'm gonna hit them with this. You know, just kind of go inside yourself and ask yourself honestly, have you ever done that? I confess to having done that. And then getting defensive when I'm called out on it. And the thing is that repeating back verbatim what the words the other person said, I mean, in a way, it seems like a paradox because it shows that you were listening. The problem is you weren't really listening. See, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Remember the old Simon Garfunkel song, Sounds of Silence, when they said people hearing without listening. See, hearing is getting the words. Listening is getting the feelings under the words and getting the hidden coded message under the words. And if you're not doing that, then the chances are the other person is going to be picking up on that. And if it's a problem area, again, like you're probably either formulating a response or trying to think of a way to just sort of make it stop. And the when you're having a difficult conversation, you can't just make it stop. Or, well, you can try. You can walk away. I know that many marriage counselors talk about, well, if things are really getting heated, take a break. You know, call a timeout, which never works. Here's why it never works. The reason why it never works, calling a timeout, is that there's one person is typically agitated and they're trying to, you know, and they're hurt and there's something they're trying to communicate to the other person. Now, the other person is probably feeling, you know, maybe they're feeling defensive, maybe they're feeling unfairly criticized, you know, or maybe some mixture of them. But whatever they, you know, oftentimes one of the people in that difficult conversation will reach a point where they get overwhelmed, they're flooded with emotion, they just want it to stop. And so they say, time out, let's call it time out. Now the other person is now left with all of these unexpressed feelings and there's nothing to push against. So they often, you know, a typical thing is the person says, time out, you know, call a time out and walk out to the other room. Many times the other person who doesn't want the time out will kind of chase after him and say, no, you can't do that. That's not fair. So timeouts don't really work because they and by the way, if I'm speaking of my experience, you know, if timeouts work for you, then great, more power to you. But here's the thing, is that a much more effective way of dealing with it is to track and to validate. And here's the thing, is that it can be a difficult, a tightrope to walk, because ways that we react. You know, we react by absorbing the criticism, by kind of, you know, shrinking down, you know, oh, yeah, you're right, I'm terrible. And if you remember, that's coming from the child or victim place. So it's making yourself wrong. And even if somebody is criticizing you and trying to make you wrong, they can't make you wrong unless you buy into it. I love that Eleanor Roosevelt quote, where she said that there are no victims, only volunteers. So I'm not advocating being irresponsible or not taking responsibility for your actions or your words, of course. But that's not the same as making yourself wrong, as being a bad person. The other way is that sometimes we react by counterattacking. That's coming from the parent or the judge, you know. So, you think I'm bad about this? Why don't you look in a mirror and you'll see someone who's bad? So that's the parent judge, you know. You think I don't listen? You're the one who doesn't listen, you know. I'm not the puppet. You're the puppet. Remember, the aware heart is a place where not only we are okay, but the other person is okay. And again, that doesn't mean that doesn't give us license to say abusive things or to say hurtful things or do hurtful things. In fact, many times our defensiveness comes from the fact that there's a lot of truth. There's at least a grain of truth in the criticism that's coming at us. So it can be very challenging to stay in your aware heart if that criticism does have a grain of truth. And especially the people closest to us, that they have their finger all over our buttons and they just know the ones to push, you know. So if you have someone who's pushing your buttons, then the answer to that is not to have the other person not push your buttons. The answer to that, the solution, is to not have these buttons be such a trigger. Realize that if your buttons get triggered, that this is your wounded child. This is a part of you that is still not okay, that maybe has not completely healed from the wounds that you absorbed when you were growing up. And the fact is that no matter how loving our parents are, and no matter how wonderful they were, it's pretty much impossible to make it to adulthood without some kind of wounding. So if you're an adult, that means that there is some wound in there somewhere. And if there isn't, I mean, fabulous, more power to you. And one way to know whether there is that if you hear criticism and you react, then That's evidence that there's a wound that hasn't been healed. And of course, this is always easy to see it in others. What's discouraging sometimes is that we see even in some of our leaders this wounding writ large. I mean, this inability to withstand any kind of criticism or any kind of negative statements, you know. And if there's an inability for that, and if there's this almost narcissistic desire to have sycophants always praise you and say how great you are, and you're always saying how great you are, then that's an indication of some really deep unhealed wounds. And that doesn't mean that the person themselves is necessarily a bad person. It generally means that you don't want to put them in charge of anything that might hurt someone else. Just as you wouldn't let a toddler operate heavy machinery or drive a car or play with a loaded gun. It's not generally wise to have people in positions of power who are still reacting from their wounding. But back to responding to criticism. And here's the idea is that you validate the hidden message. And And the thing is that what it requires that focus that if you're not listening to me picked up on was lacking. So it means that you're not just hearing the words and thinking of something else. I mean, it's almost like a meditation, where like a mindful meditation where you're bringing yourself completely into the present, and the present consists of hearing the totality of what message the other person is saying. Now, you can pay attention to the energy, because that makes a big difference. So if there's very low energy, then that's often coming from deep pain or sadness. Whereas high energy, it comes from anger or rage. Again, like deep, deep down, it's all pain. But high energy is, you know, when they're, you know, how could you do this to me? Or versus, you know, oh, how could you do this to me? In between, low to medium energy is more like annoyance or anxiety. You know, just kind of focus, like next time you're in a conversation, observe the energy. Just kind of observe what, you know, what the other, if they're excited, whether it's positive or negative, you know, if they're excited about something, then, you know, the voice is raised and the pitch increases and the speed increases. But if it's kind of low energy, that, you know, well, you know, says I didn't sleep too well last night, or, you know, whatever. So for example, you know, let's go back to, you know, you never listen to me. There it is with low energy. Okay, so what are they saying? You know, well, they're feeling sad about it, or you know, so, or you never listen to me, or you never listen to me. You see how the message in each three of those things is a little bit different, and the thing is to respond in about the same level of energy, but just a little bit lower, although in the case of the lowest energy, maybe just a little bit higher. And, okay, so now decode the message, and when you hear criticism, it's often valuable to just go right to what they want, because hidden in the criticism, in fact, not even hidden that well, is what they want. So you never listen to me. What do they want? They want to be heard. So you might say, you know, so there's something that you want to be understood, and you feel it hasn't happened yet, or you feel it hasn't been understood yet. If you've never tried that, give that a try next time. Or you just don't understand. You say, there's something that is important to you, and you feel it hasn't been understood yet, and you want it to be. Or here's one, you know, you always criticize me. One clue to the hidden message are these operative words like always and never. Now here's the mistake you get into if you come at this from a purely rational, logical place. From a logical place, always and never are always not true, or they're never true. In other words, when you say you always criticize me, that is true only if every word out of your mouth towards this other person is a criticism. And if that's the case, I mean, how did you ever get into a relationship if every word that you ever spoke to them was a criticism? So you always criticize me. I mean, that's on the face of it. If you come completely with a Spock-like rational mind, that's a false statement. What do you mean? I don't always criticize you. Well, that gets you into an area which is not beneficial to the relationship. It's not beneficial to the relationship because it misses the point. You're being a literalist when, in fact, what's being expressed often when these always or never words are used is its emphasis. It's coming from a place of, I don't think you really get this, so I need to floor this, I need to bring this to the max. And bring it to the max is always or never. So it's not literally true. It's never literally true. But what it means is that it happens too frequently. So you always criticize me doesn't mean that you, literally that you always criticize me. It means that I'm feeling criticized just much more of the time than feels comfortable. And realizing that, if you give that to them to show that you get that you get the message beneath that, instead of quibbling about whether it's literally true or not, then that can lead the way to a resolution. So when you always so a lot of the time you feel criticized, or you're feeling criticized too much of the time, and you want to be assured that you won't be that won't happen. See, matching the speaker's energy is really important. And I've spoken of this before, but it deserves a recap. Have you ever been really, really upset with somebody and, you know, and they respond the way many communications people recommend? So now, if the other person's upset, you respond calmly. So you're up here like this, and they're going, And I have yet to figure out why anybody says this, because this never works. If one person is really upset and their energy is really high, and the other person responds calmly, then the message that they're getting, the message the upset person is getting, is that the other person doesn't get it. They don't get the upset. See, it's these feelings that are the key to what the message really is. And if you respond calmly to somebody whose energy is up high, then it just gets higher. And that, if you've been either on the receiving end or the sending end of that, you just think about it, and you'll see that what I'm saying is true. That responding calmly to high energy typically makes the high energy go higher. Now, that isn't to say that you should become uncalm. It's one thing to be calm. It's another thing to respond calmly. So what I'm suggesting is to, yes, be calm. Don't take it personally. Don't get reactive. So inside, be calm. But when you respond, respond with an energy that almost matches theirs. If their energy is high, then come in at just below theirs, not way down here as a calm psychotherapist or something. But, you know, so this is really bothering you, and you want to make sure this gets fixed, something like that. If it's medium, then, you know, don't go above theirs. You know, if it's medium, come in about theirs. And with really low energy, I feel if you should come in just above theirs. If they're coming in with low energy, then you don't want to come in with high energy or even medium energy. You want to come in with low energy. But if you come in with an energy that's just a tad above theirs, then that can help lift their energy up. Remember, the object is to decode their message and understand what it is that they're trying to say to you, and what their message is, and what they're saying is almost never in the words themselves. Some magic words that I've found for low to medium energy is the two magic words, so you. And see, you know, just start with those two and see what comes after. See if you can come up with something after. And if it's high energy, a third word is added, and that's want. So you want. You want to be assured. You want this to never happen again. So you want to you want to have something understood, and that hasn't happened yet. Now, if you don't know what they're talking about, and sometimes that's the case, then you want to convey that you do want to understand. Certainly, you don't say, "Well, I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense." Some phrases that I've found to be helpful is, you know, maybe you could express what, you know, what's been happening that is not okay. Or you could even say something like, I'd like to understand what the problem is. And since I don't understand that yet, I'd like to have it clarified. Again, you want to convey that you really want to hear what it is, not that you just want to blow them off. Now, I can hear through the radio and the internet that if you're listening to this, you probably have a number of yabbats. And that's okay. When I first heard that, I had them myself. I mean, you might be thinking, this could never work, or I could never say that, or, you know, well, what about boundaries? You know, boundaries are important. When I read about boundaries, say, you can't talk, you know, I'm not okay talking, being talked to that way. You can't talk to me that way. I'm just going to leave. You might be, you know, why should I accept being treated badly? And the thing is, you should not. There is no reason why you have to be treated badly. The question is, what route will take you to that place where you can set a boundary, set a limit? By validating first, you open up the channel of communication so the other person can hear you. If you try to set a limit or a boundary while the other person is still upset, then that almost never works because they are trying to get through and you're just putting up a wall as far as they're concerned. So by validating them first, then you can express your boundary. I mean, you can say things like, I'm always open to hear something that you're not okay with. What doesn't work for me is being told to in a loud voice, or being told to in a voice that sounds more critical than I'm comfortable with, or I'm not okay being made wrong, and I felt made wrong when that was said earlier. So again, don't take my word for it. Try it. Test it for yourself. Let me know how it goes. Because you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. I have been your host, Arnie Buss. I so appreciate your joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every second Monday at 5 o'clock or a little after right here on Good Vibrations Radio. And to learn more about the work that I'm doing and you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's consciousawareheart, all one word. My website is www.consciousawareheart.com. My Twitter handle is effect5com. That's EFFECT5, the number 5, COMM. And my Facebook page is awareheart. And until then, remember, listen with your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside, someone I thought had died so long ago.
That was Dr. Arnie Buss, and speaking of listening, as he mentioned, he's here the second Monday of each month on Good Vibrations Radio. You know, it's interesting that listening is actually one of the sets of truth that Buddha tried to share with us. I shouldn't say tried to share with us. He shared with us, whether we apply it or not. But it's to speak our truth quietly and clearly, but to also listen, to make sure listening is an active art of really trying to hear what the person is saying, not just the words, not just our interpretation of the words, but really trying to hear the person's message. One of the things Dr. Buss shares repeatedly in the Speaking of Listening segment is that it's often what's underneath the words that we're trying to hear to truly create that connection with the other person. And so when we're listening too often, and he shared this and I'll share it also, that too often we're just waiting for our chance to speak. Oh, you know what I want to say back to him? Oh, I know what I want to say when he, as soon as he takes a breath. And at that moment, we're no longer listening to what that person is saying. So there is a challenge if we want conscious rapport with other people, we want conscious communication with other people, then that means not so much the words we say, as important as they are. It's, are we listening to what the other person is saying? And speaking of listening, I want to share with you a little bit of the astrology coming forward for this week. Here we are on the 12th of June. I mentioned at the beginning of the program, this Friday at the 16th at the Unitarian Universalist Sanctuary, Circle of Light is presenting a summer solstice celebration. Doors open at 7. The event starts at 7:30. And you can find information on the guest page of Good Vibrations Radio. There is an admission fee. Offhand, I don't have it, so it's on the guest page, so please check there. But coming forward with the astrology for this week, remind you that on the 9th, Jupiter went direct in Libra, and this was big because, as you know, when a planet goes retrograde, then which Jupiter did on February 5th, it drives all that energy inside, and Jupiter is a very beneficent planet. It wants us to find out our truth, so that it can bring us the good fortune in helping to realize that truth. And as we shared last week, if you did the work, when Jupiter moved direct this a couple of days ago, last Friday, after having been retrograde, we are in the process of seeing the rewards for some of the work we've been doing since 2017 began. Now, possibilities can include more cash, promotions, advancements, spiritual aspirations, higher education, traveling, kind of an advancement of any kind. But the key is, did you do the work while Jupiter was retrograde? So you're no longer stuck in plans for the future. Now you're in the phase of actually taking the steps of reaping those rewards for any of the action. And it's been almost as if we've been a hamster in a wheel, just going around and round. So this will be a big relief going forward for the rest of the year, having Jupiter direct, again, bringing forward that beneficent energy. Now, the 16th, which is Friday, which I mentioned, Neptune will go retrograde in Pisces. And Neptune often feels like an inward-looking planet to begin with. And when he turns retrograde, it almost seems natural in regards to certain sectors of our life. And Neptune likes the psychic senses and dreams and fantasies and intuition and artistic expression. So when it goes retrograde, which goes more inner, our inner creative, intuitive life becomes much more rich. Now, he's not a bigger go-getter on his best day, Neptune isn't. It's just, it's not his way. But he prefers naturally to trust his gut. And when in forward motion, most of us take that for granted, leaving us to override what we sense to be the best direction for what to do. So we often tend to ignore Neptune is what it comes down to. But when he moves into retrograde, those promptings are heightened to the point that we can't overlook them as easily. Neptune's insisting that we pay attention to those intuitive hits. So there's going to be a whole lot more kind of going with the flow. You'll be listening to what you sense more or feel to be correct about most decisions about people. And you're going to see that more in your interactions with others. Now, you may feel like you're being negative at time or paranoid, but sometimes seeing the good, bad, and downright ugly can be both a blessing and a curse. So when Neptune goes retrograde, that's likely what's going to happen. We're going to see things and sense things that we didn't before, They've always been there, but we're seeing them more clearly now because that internal Neptune is not as easily overridden as the Neptune when it's in direct motion. And when you become attuned to that way of knowing, you may feel sometimes more confused than enlightened. It was interesting to hear Dr. Buss talk about he's not enlightened or anything else. And most of us may never reach enlightenment in our lifetime. But we're going to have a sense of being much more confused, a little more paranoid about people we meet. We're going to have senses of things which we're not going to recognize why. It's okay. Trust your sense. So don't be too confused. Know that this is the Neptune retrograde. It's not really a down-to-earth type of retrograde. It's not ego-driven. It's not going to seem realistic. We're going to say, I'm having a sense of this thing, and I don't know why. And I'm not seeing that empirical information in front of me that I can trust, that I can put my hands on and touch. So it's going to be a little unsettling, but allow yourself to learn from it. One of the many, many blessings of this retrograde is learning to get more in touch with that intuitive side of you and trusting it more, because it's going to be hard not to feel it so strongly that you're going to react to it now during the retrograde. So we've got some time to go through this. Neptune's an outer planet. The retrograde is going to be there for a few months. So don't, if you feel a little confused, don't worry about it. It's just natural. Then the next big thing that's going to come up for us, of course, will be on the 21st. And that's going to be next week. But that's going to be the true summer solstice, which actually is going to be on the 20th here on the West Coast, because it's going to be 9:24 p.m. on the 20th for us. And that's a time of celebration. I mentioned it at the beginning of the show. It's the longest day of the year, the first day of summer. And that alone, more than anything else, says allow yourself to appreciate that energy of the sun being out there, the life giver. The sun is the life-giving planet of our solar system. So let that life giver kind of give you some joy and energy as you perk it up. But I'll talk more about that next week. What you might want to do is go to the guest page of Good Vibrations Radio and check in about the summer solstice celebration going on Friday evening at the Unitarian Universalist Sanctuary, presented by Circle of Light. And also, make sure you start checking in and telling others about the quarterly preview at the end of the month, June 30th, Friday, the last Friday of June, over at the Elks Lodge in Monterey, which is going to be a great time to have that physical communal gathering once again. Well, this is Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. We had our segment host of Dr. Arnie Buss today. We're going to be back next Monday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time with Joyce Muse and Your Lucky Star. She'll share the astrology that we can expect going forward and going into July. And Joyce will also be our featured astrologist at the quarterly preview, giving us all the astrology for July, August, and September. So I want to thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. Wish you many, many blessings. And remember, turn the lead in your life into gold. We'll be back next Monday. Many blessings. Namaste.